When you get in this kind of walk, people, we need to walk softly. We're dealing with life and death issues, eternal life and death issues. Things are very serious in this walk. There's a great prize to be had if we make it, and a horrible price to pay if we don't. People who live in this day, the end of this age, the Laodicean church, the time just before Jesus returns, the people living in that time have the greatest opportunity of all the saints, of all the ages. But it's the most dangerous time in the history of the planet also to be alive in. You get the greatest possible rewards, destiny, and future in Christ, and the greatest danger all at the same time in the last days. And many people, many foolish Christians have heard a vision about coming out and going to perfection and foolishly come out here and live just the way they thought they could live in the church, and they've gone down into all kinds of crazy deceptions, gone down and been possessed, gone down, lost their salvation, got involved in adultery, lost the whole family. I mean, it's gone down, down, down because they don't realize the seriousness of this call. It's the greatest opportunity of any generation ever and the most serious, deadly time of any generation ever. That's the way it is. That's where we're living. We can't change that. I can't change that. I'm sorry. That's the time we're living in. But I can warn people about the seriousness of it and keep encouraging people and keep prodding people. Go to God, get discernment on these spirits, and determine you're not going to be affected by any demon spirit, not in yourself, not in your family, not in your friends, not in other Christians, not in anybody in the pal talk room, nobody. You're not going to sell your crown for anything. Jesus said, buy that stuff, buy the gold, and sell it not. Don't let any man take your crown. And you're going to let people take your crown if you get involved with their spirits. Because you're lonely, because they need help, because they need prayer, because they're possessed, you know, because of just all this kind of stuff. We can't walk like that anymore, people. This kind of walk is a different kind of walk. Tabernacles is a different walk than Pentecost. Pentecost, people run around and do whatever they want. They do according to the need. According to the need. They run around and do the need, the need, the need. If you need prayer, they'll pray for you. If you need money, they'll give money to you. If you need deliverance, they'll deliver you. If you need teaching, they'll give you doctrine. Whatever you need, you need. Pentecost is all about the need. Tabernacle is all about the lead. The lead. What's God leading? It's all about the lead. L-E-A-D. Where is God leading? You don't take one step further then God tells you. You don't do one thing, God's not telling you. Don't involve yourself anywhere or in anybody with life that God's not telling you to. I got many people that have written me and asked me for help. You know, they all have demonic problems. And my heart goes out to them. I can't involve myself in everybody's rights. I can't do that. I can't go up against these demons myself. I lose. I end up possessed like they are. You can only fight the battles God gives you leaves to fight. And when he gives me leaves to fight, then I fight all my might. I try to help that person however I can. I give them life for him. I'll do whatever I can for him. I'll fight to the death for them. But if God tells me I shouldn't be involved with this person, it's no use. I can't fight. Brother, I ain't going to fight. I don't care what. I don't care how pathetic a case they are. I can't do it. It's not worth going to hell. For me, it's some vain effort to help somebody. They're going to get helped. I ain't going to get helped. Just at the end, everybody's going to be destroyed. You've got to be led by the Spirit in everything, people. Everything. And the devil is watching. The devil's watching every step you take, every move you make. He's watching your relationships, how careful you are, what you will allow, what you won't allow, what you're watching, what you're not watching, okay? He ain't playing a game. We're still playing a game in many areas, I guarantee you. Myself, I can include myself. It's still the story as you're playing games in, including me. But I'll tell you, your adversary, he's not playing a game. He's out for your jugular every day. Every day, okay? So it behooves us to get serious about these spirits. It's more important, I'm telling you, that we understand how to recognize a spirit when it moves in us or moves around us. Moves in our home. It's more important we know how to recognize that than as we get our doctrine straight right now. Because spirits are taking people out right and left, just like virus. I told Brother Holly Dog, Brother Brian the other day, he's not here, we were talking. I said, man, I'm telling you, it's just like we're living in the movie, The Body Snatchers. Only it's not aliens that's snatching people, it's demons. And everywhere you look, people are infested with demons. It's really scary and creepy, all right? But I can't change that. It's not for me to change it and say, stop God, stop letting this happen. You know, he said it was going to happen. He prophesied it was going to happen. He warned us in the Bible it was going to happen. And now we're living in that day. Okay? So we got to get serious about these spirits and learning how to recognize them. That's more important than doctrine right now. Okay? That's basically the burden I had tonight. I didn't have a whole lot tonight. I've been watching what everybody's saying here. Kimmy says, I just got deactivated from my account on Facebook. Never go back. Good for you. I don't want to be, you know, telling anybody how to live or what to do. I'm not trying to run anybody's life here, you know, but I felt I had to warn you guys about that. You got something to say to your mom? Looks like Mama wants something to say here, so hang on, folks. We'll get in a chair.
I just wanted to give a little testimony about fellowship. You know, I'm in the natural, I'm a people lover. I like to be around people. And it was scripture in John 1:7, always was one of my favorite scriptures. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. And my husband and I, most of our life, have lived with other Christians. And it wasn't just for fellowship. It was because God was bringing out truth and asking us to deny ourselves of our own personal life and to help others. And there were a lot of different reasons. And it was very hard. It took me quite a few years to lay down the desire for fellowship with other Christians. Not that that's wrong, but God left me to know that the fellowship he wanted us to enter into was that Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And that's the suffering he's asking us to enter into. And when you enter into that suffering, that fellowship, the other fellowship seems almost carnal. Really, it does. It seems almost carnal to just live for that kind of fellowship and want that kind of fellowship, although it's normal and we all go through that. But he's asking us to enter into his suffering. And it's so much more mature. It's so much more awesome. Honestly, it's so much more awesome to enter into his suffering with him and to be conformed to the image of his death. Not that I'm there altogether, but I know what it is to enter into his suffering. And that's what he's asking us now. If we're pressing into the high calling, if we want to be conformed to his image, he's telling us that the other fellowship should the desire for the other fellowship should diminish, and the desire to enter into his fellowship should increase. And I found that in my life. I found it's beautiful. It sounds hard, but it's not. It's awesome. It's beautiful. And he becomes more real to you. And your vision becomes more real to you. You know, the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. If we don't keep our vision clear of what God has called us to and the glory that he has for us, we might perish from walking in that vision. Because we're supposed to have a lively hope, not just a hope, lively hope, a lively hope of what God has called us to. And keep your vision clear. You'll be able to endure the cross for the joy that's set before you if you keep your vision clear of what God's called for you. He said, these light afflictions are but for a moment, and work a much greater weight of eternal glory. They don't seem like light afflictions to us, I know that. But to God, when he sees the end of what these light afflictions will bring us into, he can say that, they're only for a moment, and they'll work a much greater weight of eternal glory in you. He sees them as light afflictions. Sometimes they're pretty hard to us, but he sees them as light afflictions because he sees what they're going to bring us into. Praise the Lord. Shalom.
Amen. Good word, Ma. Well, anybody have anything to share, or add, or ask, or anything like that? Stand fast. Go ahead. Stand fast. Let's talk. You got the mic, sister.
Yeah, about the Facebook thing. I am on Facebook. I do have set up there, and I go in there and view my, you know, pictures of my children, but I could never text in it or whatever you want to call it, because I really never felt comfortable about it. I have gone in and checked my grandchildren's, what they're up to, and it's never been good, and everything that I've checked out, for the most part, had been, you know, filthy language, and my own family, too. I'm talking about some of my grandchildren and my nephew in particular, and I did text one message in the, what, might be 3-4 years that I had an account, and that was recently, and that was for my nephew too, that he needed his mouth washed out, and it was filthy language. And so anyway, I thank you for this word tonight, and a little gauge that always make me think or wonder is that if everybody is doing it, then is it possible that it's good? You know, that's always been a check for me, that if the world is involved in it, then I should be cautious. And so I thank you for that, and I thank you for that word. And I pray, too, that over the week, because I'm out here alone, and it's tough, and I don't know if I should pray for this one or that one, and I guess I'm just coming to the light of the truth, and it's tough, and I thank you, and I thank the Lord for having you give this word tonight. God bless you.
Thank you, Standfast. I appreciate that. And I'm going to be praying for you, because I know you're alone up there. And you're all alone. So I appreciate that. I'm sorry. I missed what you said there before, Joey Boy, the 10-minute thing. You said you had something that's a little long. Go ahead. That's no problem.
Okay, yeah. I guess the schedule of the... I guess it's a daily savings time thing. So, sorry, I'm kind of a little late, so I missed a lot of what you talked about. And so I don't know if this, what I'm going to read will fit or whatnot, but, you know, it's kind of in my heart. And I kind of rushed writing this thing, so correct me if I'm wrong. A few weeks ago, I was kind of provoked, if you will, by somebody mentioning about reckoning ourselves or something. I think it was Sister Annabelle who said something about, you know, reckoning ourselves. And so I was very blessed when she said that. So I'm just going to read, you know, something similar. So it's more kind of like an FYI slash little testimony kind of thing that I personally realized when I was faced with some of the most challenging events in my life in the past. I was meditating on Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14, and I know there's so much to expound here that I don't even know a fraction of the magnitude of what's really being communicated to us through the mind of the Apostle Paul. And so I'm just going to try to share some basic and elementary things that I've been pondering on that I believe is pretty imperative for all of us who wants to continue to keep swinging and kicking and fighting for the hill of the Lord. As I read this passage of Scripture, it makes me realize more and more of the importance of constantly renewing our minds and decolonizing or dethroning, in fact, destroying all the thoughts and religious belief systems that's exalting themselves above the true knowledge of God in our lives. I think that's really important to realize, because whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is nothing new to all of us, I think, but I believe we need to be reminded sometimes in our walk about the basic revelation of the position that God has given us through the death and resurrection of the perfect Lamb of God. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul of old, has exhorted us to walk as Jesus walked. They made it clear to us that we can be pure as Jesus is pure. They commanded us to be holy as our Lord. The Lord our God is holy, and the Lord Jesus himself commanded us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And I strongly believe that we can believe that just as the Father has sent the Lord and the apostles were sent by Jesus, we can also be sent by the Lord to walk in the Spirit in like manner. But I think one of the most common things that hinders God's people to be freed from all sin is because we do not know the incredible position that we have been given in Christ, that one of the most fundamental reasons why God forbids that we sin any longer by being under grace is because we have complete dominion and authority over all sin in our personal lives. There's a lack of revelation about the fact that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, where sin and the devil enslaved us by right. But now we are in the kingdom of light, where we now have 100% position of authority where sin have no dominion or power over us no more than a slave have any power over his brutal, authoritative, domineering master. And Paul seems to me like he is pounding to the people of God as he was contending against false grace teachers of his day, exhorting the believers in Rome about the truth of their spiritual position by being united with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, giving them the freedom to live and walk without sin any longer. You know, it's like we're now a temple in God's territory, and anything that trespasses against us in that territory, namely sin, Satan, demonic spirits, false prophets, false teachers, false doctrines, addiction, laziness, lukewarmness, compromise, idolatry, covetousness, love of the world, etc. The laws of that territory, with all the authority of the one who sits on the throne of that temple, has granted us all the power and authority to destroy and to expel anything that contradicts that temple that's within that territory. I believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and with all the great cloud of witnesses and all of God's faithful angels surrounding his kingdom, his word, and everything else in his divine power to provide for us all things that pertains to life and godliness, we have the authority and the full divine backup in all of God's kingdom to annihilate anything that violates and trespasses against that kingdom in which we, the temple of God, are planted in. The kingdom of God has invested all things from heaven to Calvary in our behalf in order for us to overcome all sin. He is now looking for us to fight in the authority of his name because he is fully on our side. He desires for us to overcome all sin and begin to act and live like we truly are the citizens of that kingdom. You know, I really believe that being under God's grace is basically living under the influence and the power of the life and resurrection of the new and living way in order for us to have the right or the authority to become children of God. And subsequently, if we choose to, we can press on to win Christ by living out what Jesus so brutally died for us to live in, which is the fullness of his likeness in his character, nature, attitude, behavior, to be approved and received by the Father as a mature son like Jesus, the Son of God. This is only available for those who will run the race, of course. It's not for those who sit in their blessed assurance because it's a prize for those who earned it, as opposed to a gift for those who rest and spectate in deception as they sit in their bench of false mercy and under their umbrella of false grace, ending up without the prize. And so somehow this kind of mentality about our position then should give us so much more motivation and boldness and confidence to take the initiative to co-labor with God, to do all of our responsibility and get up and go about the business of the kingdom in the nature of the way Jesus and the apostles did. That is why Paul encourages us to reckon ourselves in our mind, therefore, by the Spirit of grace and truth, that in repentance from all sin and walking in obedient faith toward God, we can say that I am now walking in sinlessness perfection. Doesn't mean we have fully arrived. It is simply having our minds and actions to be on the right track in alignment with the mind of Christ about who he is and who we are in him as we press on. And you know, it's pretty interesting that the Apostle Paul didn't say, I was or I will. He boldly claimed, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh here on earth, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And along the way, every day, every hour, as we reckon ourselves, we just wage war against anything that comes our way, anything within the flesh and against enemies that comes from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, against family members that Satan is using to hinder us, you know, emotional witchcraft or whatever, against seducing spirits, false doctrines, and everything else that war against the temple of God in our lives. We can now treat sin like brutal, domineering, authoritative masters and drive away that slavery of sin in our lives. The enemy has so lied to so many people and have them to believe that the slavery of sin has authority to control their lives and just wait until God gives them some desire enough to stop that sin, and in the meantime, I'll just let God's grace to cover me. That's dangerous because it's like what Jesus has done on the cross to defeat the kingdom of darkness when he said, "It is finished." It's like they unknowingly want Jesus to be crucified again and say those words again, because 1,000-year-old sacrifice is not enough to give them a life of freedom, to liberate them from all sin, which the grace of God that instructs and commands us to go and sin no more. It's sad because it's a mockery against the cross. There's a lot of enemies of the cross right now, but nonetheless, I think the Word of God says that God will not be mocked. I know it has a specific context why Paul said that in Galatians chapter 6, but it probably also implies overall about his divine justice being served against all these bad doctrines and practices that's been going on and everything else that contradicts his kingdom. A brother told me one time that since the Lord did not give him the desire to quit a particular in his life, he's just going to keep doing it. I told him another time that addictions are ungodly, sinful bondage of the flesh. I didn't know much about the influence of the demonic spirits at that time, but one thing for sure, I was trying to point him to take responsibility of his sin, being mindful of Romans chapter 6. Certainly he was under the influence of a demonic spirit of false grace. In verse 14, it's really interesting that Paul mentioned in connection to the whole passage that we are not to sin any longer because of the dominion and authority that we have over sin. I believe that he is simply saying there is that do not sin any longer is the only basic compatible Christian life with the grace of God that we are living under. Allowing any sin in our lives or willfully condoning to others sins is not compatible with the true Christian life that's under God's grace. To me, it sounds very opposite of what we have been hearing in the church world today, that if we are still sinning as long as we have believed in the work of Christ on Calvary, his grace covers the sins in our lives until then, I won't worry too much about my sin. I'll just call it weaknesses and imperfections, and I'll be all right. There are those who are actually a little bit more spiritual by adding to that statement their claim to have a desire to be free from their habitual sin. But Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. So desire is not enough to define true disciples. So as I read this chapter in the book of Romans and many other scriptures, the modern day definition of evangelical Calvinistic grace is not compatible with the true Christian faith that the apostles once delivered unto all the saints that's under the true grace of God. So anyway, with that position, I believe that we are to be spiritually and righteously and as necessary be cruel and mean, brutal, ruthless, and domineering and authoritative against the slavery of sin in our lives. Otherwise, the other way around would be to keep petting sin or end up just false grace and end up overcoming us instead of us being the overcomers. In my opinion, Romans chapter 6 is the basic starting point in Christ, which I don't think we can even begin to walk in Philippians chapter 3, where we count even the good things, which can become an enemy of God's best, to be but loss for the sake of the prize of the high calling, if we haven't even overcome the sinful things God's way. I don't know anybody who has not even walked in Romans chapter 6, who is going on to perfection based on Philippians chapter 3. I don't know how that's possible. So anyway, brother, I know it's getting late, so I'll put the mic and have a good night.
That's a good word, Joey. That's the kind of attitude we should have towards sin. You're right. We have the authority, we have the power. That's a good word, that's right. Romans 6 is true. It's our position in Christ. A lot of people need to hear that. Especially what you said about that grace, I just wanted to say this. I think about grace, about, you know, you're talking about a guy that had a problem, an addiction, and he says he's going to wait around till Jesus comes and does it. That's that Calvinistic garbage, false grace and false faith. It's a false faith more than false grace, because what you're saying is people who have true faith won't put their hands to that kind of thing. They won't use their own effort, their own grit, and their own determination trying to overcome those things. They're just going to wait in faith till Jesus comes and takes away the desire for those things. That's a false faith. You know, so that's what you're talking about. So I agree. That was very good. Exactly right. Amen. Good word. Anybody else have anything for you share down tonight? Alrighty. Well, thanks for coming again. Next week, I'm going to get that thing about the human will. We'll do that next week. I just felt I had to put this together for this week to get this out because I felt it was more important. So we'll see you next week. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week, God willing, and the river don't rise.